بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وقال الله تعالى تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن حجة لك أو عليك. My dear most respected friends, we are coming in the final stages to the month of Ramadan, Shahrul Quran, the month of Quran and the month of fasting. And it is this last 10 days, the last leg of the month of Ramadan, that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described that the awakhir of this month, itqum minan nar, is freedom and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. And many people have interpreted this itqun nar as a banda, a servant, an abd, remains the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. And what is meant by that guestship where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the host and the sa'im, the faster, is the guest? It stems from the same atiq or atiq, a person who has freed or has been freed min an nar, from the fire of Jahannam. You see, when a person is freed, he enters into a different realm altogether. And true freedom can only be enjoyed by a person. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ. That person who has been freed and removed from the shackles of a daunting future, the fire, adab, the punishment, that person who has been removed from that worry and that concern and has been entered inside Jannah, now that is a true person who has been freed. And this is referred to in the last part of the month of Ramadan, that had that sa'im, had that fasting person engaged in the requirements of the month, had that person drawn the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as was supposed to in the first 10 days, had he secured the maghfirah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle 10 days, then this person would have rendered himself free from the fire of Jahannam, itqum min an-nar, he would have been freed from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being free from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entails being a permanent guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. The highest mark and the highest objective of a believer and the objective of a faster, of a haji, of a musalli, how could that prize be secured? That prize of everlasting freedom from worries and from toil and entry inside Jannah, especially Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every single one of us and our families with that highest mark and objective. You know, my respected friends, that when people speak of the guests of this dunya, that they make references to the food, they make references to all those things that that guest may provide for them, the bathrooms and the cleanliness and the parking and the entertainment and whatever you have. Nobody can compare how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entertains His rightful servants to any of the entertainment and the, you know, niceties of this world or the pleasantries of this world. For when a person is on that Yawmul Qiyamah, and he has attained the guestship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with that person, and he happens to be especially from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the introduction to his joys and his pleasures will not start in Jannah, but it will start directly at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Hawza Kawthar. And this will be before that entry. Before we speak about one brick of gold and the other brick of silver and the cement in between being musk, before a person speaks of those rivers, before a person speaks of those castles, before a person speaks of all those other niceties, it starts off with the ultimate being the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the point of his hawd. And this reference to the hawd, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أعطيناك الكوثر. When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lost his son, and he had become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like how he was, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had passed away in his infancy,
a ma'asoom child going on and becoming the farat for this ummah as well as the sahaba radiallahu anhum, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us that every child that passes on, our dua, that Allahumma ja'alhu lana farata, that oh Allah, make this child a forerider, one who will intercede on our behalf. When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son Ibrahim became the beloved of Allah as he was the beloved of his father, the apple of his eye, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam no doubt was grieved. Those looking to point a finger at his lifestyle and his ways and his mannerisms and especially his legacy, that whilst they made the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a target, their main objective was the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That legacy must not continue. That the deen that he has professed, that must not continue. That he can be al-Amin, al-Sadiq, he is what he is. But as far as his deen is concerned, as far as that ideology, and they considered it an ideology, not a way of life, as far as that ideology is concerned, that this year must not continue. So therefore, they rejoice. The enemies of Islam, the Quraysh, the Kuffar amongst them, rejoice at that point in time. That he is an individual who is an abdar. An abdar in reference to an animal whose tail is cut, al-iyadu billah. They called him that abdar, that he has got no male issue left anymore. That when he passes on, like the rest of humanity will soon pass on, when he passes on, there will be nobody to continue with that same message, for he has not left any male issue after him. Little did they know that the spiritual legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completely independent from his biological legacy. That he, little did they know that he and his deen does not operate like the kings and the princes and the monarchs of this world. That they rely on that male issue. And if it was not for that male issue, they will not be able to hand over the throne. It will go over to somebody else. When it comes to this deen does not fall in the ambit of any kingship. It does not fall in the category or the bracket of any monarchy. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed protection for it. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr, that we reveal the reminder. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun, and we will take care of this reminder. This reminder includes the Quran. It includes the everything that the Quran stands for, the deen of Allah. It includes the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will take care of it. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also informs Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have given you the hawd, we have given you that kawthar. So this guestship will start at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we're a true one who has been released from the fire of Jahannam, that atiq, that person who has been freed from the fire of Jahannam, when he now experiences that true freedom on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be drinking from that hawd. That same hawd that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described. That adad, that the number of al-ina, of utensils around that house, will be more min adadi nujumi sama, than there are sky stars inside the sky. That how glorious is a star-filled sky. That a person who has a chance to leave the city for a while, where it is utterly and completely dark, and a person who has got nothing but the sky as his roof, in the middle of those long nights, if he has to start from one side counting those stars, even though they may be millions of years away, he will give up in just a mere corner of that sky. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the utensils, meaning those who are going to drink from there, meaning the availability of that drink, will be more than there are stars inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sky. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ashaddu bayadan min lamin, that it will be whiter than milk. Its fragrance will be such that it will fill the entire realm of where people are. Now that is where a person becomes a guest. And finally he goes on to entering inside Jannah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now fulfills whatever is the desire of that person. And my respected friends, that this is what is being referred to. That the awakhir of the month of Ramadan is itqu min an-nar, is emancipation and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. That person will be included. That person who has fasted, imana wa ihtisaban, in a state of iman, anticipating reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who has stood, imana wa ihtisaban, stood in salah, in the state of Iman and anticipating reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that Yawmul Qiyamah, when that announcement is made, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْا, that those people who practice taqwa, who have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their heart, وَسِيق, when they will now be, will not be driven like the Jahannameen, but they will be called with honor. That they will be pulled towards Jannah. Jannah will be calling them and they will be yearning towards that eternal paradise. It will be like a magnet on iron effect. And when those malaika will greet them, Salamun alaykum. Then may the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. How many of ulama don't just translate it as peace, as Assalamu alaykum. But that salam in a very holistic sense. That all your toils of this world have been forgotten. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed from you those issues that made life a misery. For the mere mundane understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the wealth of Jannah, the clothes, the food and everything so related. But the greatest crown for an ummati inside Jannah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes those qualities that made life so difficult inside this dunya. That hasad, that jealousy, that envy, everything that made the life of a wealthy or a poor man miserable for that matter. For it affects everybody equally. That it is found in every home, it's found to some degree in every human being, that the potential to exercise it and to practice upon its call exists in everybody's heart, man or woman equally, that those who are learned have the potential of doing it, those who are ignorant have the potential of doing it, and amongst the first things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove, when a person becomes the permanent guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the quality of the heart to be hasid, is the quality of the heart to be jealous. Is the quality of the heart to be envious? The quality of the heart to exercise anger? All those qualities will be removed. So that in Jannah, when a person looks at even a person above him, or a person side by side with him, he will not feel envious of the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted, nor the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given any one of his fellow jannatis. Now this is the real person who has been freed from the fire of Jahannam, which a person hopes to attain in the awakhir, in the last 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. And how does a person attain it? A person attains it by standing up in salah, by making the most of every single hour and moment of that day, of that hour, to utilize for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person looks at those who have went far ahead of him in ibadah. A person looks at sages of this ummah, like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, who completed one khatam of the Quran practically daily by looking inside and completed a khatam of the Quran by standing up in ibadah during the hours of the night. He stand in practice in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. And then too, running the Khalifatul Mu'mineen, and being the Khalifatul Mu'mineen, or running his office, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him barakah inside his time. My respected friends, if you just have to fathom the responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as an individual, seated there in the Darul Khilafah of Madinatul Tayyibah, Madinatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seated there in the office, the Imam of his community, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. The responsibility of a family, and not just a biological or an immediate family as we would term it, but rather responsible for the extended family of the entire ummah. And responsible for a family whose geographical position at the time of his passing away, extended all the way from the borders of Morocco, all the way right up until Faris and Persia, all the way from Armenia in the north till southern Yemen, until the Indian Ocean in the south, including the islands of Cyprus and including many Mediterranean islands, that as a result of him establishing the navy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took deen there. Yet he has an opportunity to make two khatams of the kitab of Allah every day. And if you ask the average man, he leaves home with a grocery list of 10 items and he comes back short and he has done nothing by way of his ibadah for that day. If you look at it, my respected friends, that a person like straws manages to hold on to their 5 times salah. Leave alone the extra tilawa. Leave alone the surah Yasin in the morning and Tabarak al-Ladhi and surah Mulk and all the other wazaif in the hours of the evening. An average person leaves home with that grocery list of 10, goes to that one shop and they are short of stock, and he'll be running around for that same item the entire day. Way is running the office of the Khalifa, and here he's completing 2 khatams and kitabs of the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice on a day. My respected friends, it is all about barakah in time. Barakah is not defined as a lot. In the correct definition of it, qaleelu shay kathirun nafa. That something which is small, but a lot of work is able to be gained out of it. And this comes when a person exercises taqwa. When a person exercises self-discipline, that how can I utilize every moment? That even that one moment of slumber might be too long. That one moment of extra conversation which may lead nowhere is too long for me to engage in. That one flick of a switch may take so many hours of my day in researching nonsensical information. I've got no time for it in the month of Ramadan. That month of Ramadan is a time for a mu'min, for a believer to capitalize. And because of this, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs the ummah, قَدْ أَهَانَ عَلَيْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ, in the beginning of the month, that such a month has dawned upon you, that فِيهِ, that in this month, لَيْلَةٌ, such a night that is better than a thousand months. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. And yes, my respected friends, this night of Laylatul Qadr, as the instruction and directive of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could be amongst any of the odd nights of the last 10 of the month of Ramadan. And this is the opinion of most of the scholars, and this is the directive that we need to follow, that to search for it, taharrau Laylatul Qadr, that search for it amongst the last 10 nights of Ramadan, especially the odd. My respected friends, that this night of Qadr in itself is as a result of the yearning of this ummah. That on one occasion when Rasulullah ﷺ spoke of the lengthy lifespans of the people of the past, people amongst Nuh alayhi salam's qawm, people amongst the Bani Israel, one individual who strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years, and then only did he return back home. Another individual who makes sujood inclusively in his entire life for a period of 40 years, if you have to add the time and the awqat of his sujood. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu were astonished. After all, Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned that Umr ummati, that the age of my ummah bayna sitteen wa sab'een, will be between the ages of 60 and 70. How can a man who has to sleep for 8 hours in that day, which meant that over one third of his life, because as a child you were sleeping for 12, 13 hours, over 20 years of a 60 year lifespan went in him sleeping. How can a man who has got those mundane responsibilities, who is far weaker physically than the ummah of the past, who is far shorter, who is far weaker, who of course has got many other physical impediments which the people of the past did not have, how is he, or how would he be able to attain that? This was the concern of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And wherever this ummah had a concern, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved them practically immediately. When they asked a question about the hilal, yas'alunaka 'anil ahilla, they ask you regarding the new moon, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a directive, what is the position of the moon in the Muslim ummah to start your month, to count your days, etc., etc. When they had a question about a woman in hayd, in a menstrual cycle, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs them of a directive. And here the ummah had a joint concern, that how will we ever be able to reach the standard of the people gone by? When it comes to quality, okay, that can be understood. But when it comes to time frame, how will we be able to compete with them? If this is the case, then we have got all these impediments in front of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ayats of Laylatul Qadr. He comes out to inform this ummah of Laylatul Qadr. A dispute at the door of the masjid makes him forget. But he tells the ummah, وَلَعَلَّهُ خَيْرُ اللَّكُ, that perhaps that is better for you. Perhaps that is better for you that the exact date was taken away from my memory. Because when you work for something, you appreciate it. None of us living right now have got guarantees of Jannah. None of us. Unless it's through the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But amongst the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave how many of them the glad tidings that you are already the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one riwayah in Bukhari, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to the masjid and he says, Wamali, then what is it that when I went to visit Jannah, Ra'aytu Rumaysa, that I saw Rumaysa radiallahu anha, a lady, one of the first few ladies given the bashara and the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. She was no ordinary lady, of course. She was the mother of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. And when many people speak of sacrifice, one of the sacrifices that people are very reluctant to give is their own flesh and blood. Especially in the relationship of a mother and her son. Reluctant to give them up, reluctant to let them go home, and even if they speak of traveling and going too far, it's always the mother's concern that don't go too far, come back as soon as possible, and that concern remains until the son comes back, or there's a phone call, or whatever the case may be. But let's look at this. Rasulullah ﷺ includes her amongst those people who he mentions I've seen in Jannah. This is just before he mentions, I heard Bilal radiallahu anhu's footsteps, and he asked Bilal radiallahu anhu, that, Ya Bilal, Mali, what is it that I hear your footsteps in Jannah? And then Bilal radiallahu anhu accounts that whenever I wake up in the hours of the night, atawadda, I make wudu and I perform two rakats of salah. And Rasulullah approves, yes, that is the condition. That is the reason why you are counted amongst the people of Jannah, and I heard your footsteps ahead of me. This lady, Rumaysa radiallahu anha, the mother, Ummu Anas radiallahu anh, when everybody in Madinatul Tayyibah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their presentations, that here when Rasulullah sallam came as a muhajir, as al-muhajirul ula, that the primary muhajir, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come to Madinatul Tayyibah, that the best of muhajireen has come, for he has come from Mecca to Medina. People came with their presentations. Some offered accommodation. Other people offered support in a different way. The mother of Anas radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhuma, both of them. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is brought to where the house where he would reside, the house of the Ansari radiallahu anhu, of the Bani Najjar, where he would reside, and people would come and visit him. This pious lady came with Anas radiallahu anhu, who was 10 years old at that time, and mentioned that the people have presented in front of you their dunya, I present in front of you my Anas, that he will stay with you, he will serve you, and he will remain with you, and he will be at your beck and call. Anas radiallahu anhu says, Khadimtu Rasulullah, I served Rasulullah sallam for 10 years. In the course of those 10 years, he did not rebuke me, he did not beat me, and the only occasion that he could recall of his interaction with Rasulullah SAW that left him more embarrassed than anything. He says, on one occasion when I went out to play with the, Rasulullah SAW sent me on an errand, and I went out to play with my friends, forgetting that errand. Rasulullah SAW comes, and he places his palms on my eyes, and he is the narrator of that hadith, which is in the Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, that ma wajadtu hariran wala dibajan, I did not find silk brocade or fine silk, Aliyan min kaffi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more softer than the palm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallam is already saying that that mother, the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she already is in Jannah. Rasulullah sallam says, what is it that Abdul Rahman is in Jannah and Talha is in Jannah? These people were freed from that worry and toil of the nar of the fire in this dunya because of them utilizing that sohbah and that company of Rasulullah SAW effectively. My respected friends, in this month of Ramadan, this Laylatul Qadr is an opportunity for us to gain that sohbah. That sohbah of the masjid. That let us come in droves, let us not just reside only in our homes in the case of a male, of course. But the masajid are open like never ever before. The environment of ibadah is in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sweetness and the halwa of ibadah can only be gained in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at his home or the confines of his home. Yes, inshallah, for whatever reason a person may choose to do so, no doubt it will be accepted by Allah. But whilst the opportunity of spending time in the house of Allah exists, a person needs to use it and capitalize on it. My respected friends, whilst we should not get in the Eid mood as well, there are some masail with regards to the day that needs to be properly touched upon in the next few seconds that we have. One is of the Sadqatul Fitr. Sadqatul Fitr, my respected friends, as in many parts of the world, is given in all forms. That calculation that we see is based on a specific directive of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he would mention that your Sadqatul Fitr is a sa' of dates, a sa' of this, and a sa' is approximately just around 4 kilograms of a measurement that was used in Hijaz at that particular time. We normally calculate it at approximately 2.3 kilograms on the higher end of wheat, which is a common crop utilized in our country. Hence you have that particular figure. That is a bare minimum. It is a directive. A person by all means should give more. A male is responsible for himself, he is responsible for his minor children. Every adult is responsible for himself. However, if you have a wife who is generous enough to pay on behalf of a husband, by all means she should do so. Or you have a husband who is generous enough to pay on behalf of his wife, by all means you should do so. Normally we mention it the other way, a husband who is generous on behalf of his wife. But because of the need of times right now, it normally works the other way. My respected friends, you ask any imam who is regular with performing janazah salahs, one of the regular questions that you receive after that person has been buried is the distribution of the inheritance of that person. And I can attest to most of the janazah salahs that I have performed that normally it is the man who dies broke. Very seldom you have a woman, a lady who dies broke. Normally it is a man who dies broke. So hence if you have a wife who is generous enough to pay Sadqatul Fitr on behalf of a husband, by all means she should do so, and that will be fulfilled on her behalf. That is an important requirement before the day of Eid itself. The sooner the better, so that it may be handed over to those who are in need. With regards to the Eid Salah itself, Aisha radiallahu anha was very clear. Had Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ seen the Nisa of our Ummah, of our time right now, she's only speaking a few years after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would have definitely stopped them from attending any public function, including salah inside the masjid. You know, my respected friends, we quite often champion Aisha radiallahu anha for many things. Aisha radiallahu anha, the leader of a community at the Battle of Jamal. Aisha radiallahu anha, the spokesman on behalf of the woman and the nisa of this ummah. Why do we not champion Aisha radiallahu anha when it comes to her directives with regards to these things here as well? After that battle of Jamal, when finally she was removed from that camel and she went home, for years until her death, when people would visit her and discuss that battle, she would cover up her eyes with her cloth, with her scarf, and she would cry. And she would say, Ya Laytana, if only we had followed the advice of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that O wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is of course in reference to the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallam, the woman or the nisa amongst them, stay inside your homes, وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَ, and should, do not show yourself like in the days of Jahiliyyah. Why do we not champion Aisha radiallahu anha's qawl when it comes, or her statement, when it comes to her instructing the ummah or the nisa of this ummah, that had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen our behavior right now, then he would have ordered that every single one of us remain away and out of the eyes of a public gathering. Now champion Aisha radiallahu anha here as well. Champion her and champion her directives, and nobody could have understood Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mizaj and temperament more than Aisha radiallahu anha. And the same Aisha radiallahu anha is the same one wherein we learn our du'as of the night of Qadr. She is the one who asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in wajantu laylatul Qadr, that if I find that night of Qadr, ma akulu, what would I say? If it was not for her, then that famous du'a, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afa fa'afu anni, that oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love forgiveness, so therefore forgive me on this eve, on this night, if you find Laylatul Qadr. If it was not for her efforts, we would have not learned that dua. Yes, indeed. The Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, but not just in selective parallels, not just in selective directives, but when it comes to everything what she says about behavior, about du'as, about morals, Aisha radiallahu anha indeed is that example for us, wherein she instructs the members of this ummah, the men as well as the ummah, as well as the woman, that you direct yourself towards modesty, whether it is your masjid, whether it is your Eidgah, whatever it may be. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had he been around right now, he would have made sure that this does not prevail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.